Lime, duh. Yeah. Wow. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black, a.k.a. Dunsky, Blackamora, a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling, a.k.a. Donnie Capri from the time I went to Italy.
Oh, you didn't know?
A.k.a. the modern day goof and spoof, Raja.
No more Mr. Nice Jew.
Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, gabba, wee.
Gabba, wee, gabba, gay.
This girl, she's mine.
I'm not changing my lifestyle. I'm 4 or 5 women every day of my life.
Adele, she's fine.
Holy motherfucking shit.
What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, muy caliente wrestling reactions. Woo! Wow. Hold on, before we go.
What flavor is that?
Lime, duh. Taking down a lime LaCroix like a nice boy, everybody. Wow. All right, this is a huge, tremendous day here in studio. Actually bigger than I had expected, which we'll get into. But we have some major guests in here. And before I introduce them, I just want to say, if you listen to this podcast every single week, you want to support this pod, there's only one way to do it, Debbie. Patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Get access to our bonus episodes about NXT and AEW come out on Fridays, baby, and you get access to our movie dissection episodes once a month. Right now, up the Marine 4 starring Mike the Miz Mizanin. Check it out. What a flick. Also, if you want to get your voice on the show, you leave us a voicemail at 316-530-2429-316. 530-2429. Blow my mind. All right, let's get into it. As always in studio, to my front, the nasty one. He's a nasty boy, Nasty Newman.
Welcome to How About It City, bitch.
Yeah, and the first lady, Erin Finnerty. Wow, and our two special guests in studio. And by the way, I said we were going to have one huge guest in studio this week. We had a little bit of a scheduling snafu.
A little bit of a mix-up.
Where I booked one guest and Erin
booked
another.
The other also big guest. So.
Yeah, so, well, the man I booked, both. These
both
are
men.
Two of my guys.
I would agree.
Right?
Yes.
In studio. The former WWE heavyweight champion, Dolph motherfucking Ziggler. What is up?
What's up, guys?
what'd you think
is
of the intro?
Is still part of the intro? Is it still going on?
Yeah, this is, the whole show is just an intro.
I think you should stretch it out a little bit longer. Because it's volume, not content, you know?
Yeah. That's what it is now.
Perfectly describes Dan.
I think I'm doing good work. What are you talking about?
Yeah, good.
Well, and also, Dolph, thanks for being here.
Yeah, right? Thanks.
Get comfortable. And also in studio, our equally great guest that Erin booked.
Double booked. My apologies.
His big return to the podcast is Skyler Pitch Mr. Perfect Aston. Wow.
Welcome to the most must-listen podcast in history. Welcome to Cal TV.
Wow. Skyler in studio.
Lime. Duh.
Good.
Hey, I mean, it's good to be half here. I mean, Jesus, guys, what the hell happened?
Yeah,
sorry.
No.
Hey, we biffed.
I haven't been here in literally 6 months, but it's fine. I mean, I'm sharing the stage with the great.
I'm just grateful that you accepted the invitation. I just didn't realize it was going to be a conflict with Dan's guest.
Yeah, I mean, I got no beef here. I mean, I'm just, I guess I'll just speak for less time.
Yeah, we'll just share a mic and.
That's fine. Yeah.
I'll like get half as much as you would out of each of us normally. Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
We're going to make it work, right?
Well, I mean, as long as he doesn't kick me in the face again, sure.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that for free.
Wow.
Okay. Well, okay, guys. Well, anyway, that was speaking of Calmania, that happened at Calmania last year, which, you know, that was 2019.
Yeah.
It's 2020, right?
Well, I still have the same dentist.
Okay.
I mean, he definitely loosened a permanent tooth of mine, so.
Okay.
I feel like when you sign into, whether it's an agreement, an oral contract, or whatever, to, like, be a part of an actual real life fighting show, that you have to be up for, you know, any repercussions that happens.
That's
true.
Like,
that's part of it.
Hey,
you
look,
know?
I totally get that. But when I sign up for oral hygiene, I definitely don't want my tooth to wiggle.
Yeah, that's okay, guys.
Wiggle means it's working. I think
it's
good. It's
fine.
It's
look, it has always been a dream of mine. I just wish I was a little bit more ready. And honestly, I think you kind of cheap shot at me. But whatever, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Look, all right. This is the past.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Actually, it is very good to see everybody, and it is definitely very.
Great to see
you. Yeah, absolutely. And also,
even
that
Dolph.
Was a weird thing because, you know, Dolph, you were the timekeeper of the Cal Heavyweight Championship match at Cal
Mania. Which I thought I did a great job at.
Yeah, I thought you did a great job. Yeah. I thought, Skyler, you're the referee. You both did a great job. And regardless of anything that happened, you guys all had the intent of me walking home with the title, which I did. Right?
I mean, I had the intention of keeping it fair.
I wanted to call it down the middle time-wise, too, yeah. So yeah. I don't really play favorites. Yeah. I was looking to see who the winner was.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, look.
Happy for you. Did you win?
I did. You did, that's true. You did leave before the end.
I did. Yeah. What happened at the end?
Well, I hit Adam Letterman with a stunner, which I've been perfecting by watching footage of Stone Cold for years and years, and practically shattered the guy's jaw. I went home victorious.
I counted to three.
You counted to three.
Hey, you did your job there for a second.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right.
That's something.
Guys. All right. Let's loosen this thing up. Let's
come at you. It's going to be phenomenal. Is he going to say something weird? I don't know. Let's tune in. We got weather on the nines, and we definitely got AJ Styles saying something borderline racist. Here we go. They don't want none.
We do little talk ups here. We take wrestling songs and we do talk up stuff.
Okay. Give me one more.
You want one?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's give Skyler one. I'm going to give you the best one. You know what the best one is?
It better
be
my favorite guy.
Yeah. This is your favorite guy. Ready? Here's the best one. All right, ready and go.
He's a sexy boy and we got sexy toys. Tickle me Elmo for Christmas.
Newman, you want one?
Yeah, hit me.
All right.
We got a lot of people sick from coronavirus coming in from China. Make sure you check your health. Make an appointment with your doctor. Check your Apple Watch for your heartbeat and get healthy. Let's go.
That's great.
That's from the All Pro Wrestling Music radio station.
AM radio.
We're about to start.
So it doesn't exist yet.
Anyway, everybody, okay, let's get past all the animosity in the room. Let's let it go. The past is the past. And let's talk about the future.
Yeah. Yes.
And the future is now. As a matter of fact, more specifically, the future is April 4th, officially, Saturday at 3 p.m., at the Cuban Club in Tampa Bay, Florida.
All right, baby.
Calmania 2 will be taking place.
3 p.m. It's like Blue Plate special.
That's brunch time?
We'll be serving light appetizers that are not full for dinner.
There'll be melon on the side.
There'll be an ambrosial buffet.
People will still be full for lunch.
Absolutely. But you'll be able to get, we're going to have a bunch of special guests on the show. I'll be doing a live podcast. If I win the Cal title, okay?
Now and April 4th.
Yeah.
If you win the title.
If I win it, or, you know, unfortunately, if Tulo, who's threatening to cash in the Cal Money in the Bank briefcase, if that does happen, well, then, you know, whatever. If those, we'll have a title shot at Cal Mania 2, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There will be a title match. I don't know. I can't speak if he's, you know, who knows? But the point is, Calmania 2 is happening regardless. It'll be a podcast. Might not have a match. You can get your tickets right now at calmania.brownpapertickets.com. calmania.brownpapertickets.com. Okay? 3 p.m. April 4th, Saturday. Huge, huge news.
Okay. I like that no joke, like you're announcing the show, which is awesome. That's pretty cool. I love supporting any kind of live wrestling event, whatever the situation is. But also, It's not like, here's the deal. It's this guy and this guy and that's it. You don't know what's going to happen, and I genuinely appreciate that. But yeah, there's going to be a title on the line. Something's going down. That's what makes it exciting. That's what I like as a wrestling fan, not always knowing what the hell's going to happen.
Yeah, it's like, the you know, and look, the other thing is that, like, this, you know, if I'm booking, you know, I am scheduling this event. You know what I mean? Yep. And, like, I can control that we're going to do the podcast. You know, I can control that. I can book some people, but I can't guarantee the Cow Championship will be there if I'm not the champion.
Yeah.
I mean, so anyway, you know where I stand. If I can win it back or get my hands on it, it will be, I'll put it up because we need a fighting champion around here.
Yeah.
Is what we need
we
this title.
How many days?
200, it's according to Tulo, it was 220 days. Whoa. Anyway,
296
now? So look, speaking of my having two of my guys in studio, I wanted to give you guys a gift. Okay.
Oh my god.
Oh wow, thank you.
Live
scale for the day.
That's right. You're both coming in. Here you go. No, oh, no, I can't give you scale.
You're throwing a t-shirt at me?
I can throw a t-shirt at you.
Oh, this is a beautiful.
That was definitely your version of throwing.
Two of my guys.
These exclusive units.
Dan Black is one of my guys' t-shirts.
I like the shirt and I like that it's squishy. That's very important to me. And I like a good soft squishy t-shirt.
We never go crunchy here.
I mean, my main question for you, Ziggler, is how fast do those sleeves come off the shirt?
If I just looked around the room for scissors. And all I saw was a ring bell. I don't know that I used to carry one in my backpack that had sleeves on it in case I had to be called up to like a VIP meet and greet somewhere where I didn't have a blazer or something. But that was like 10 years ago.
Right.
It's all sleeveless.
Wait, are you? Do your shirt right now?
Come on,
sleeves?
Bro.
Oh my god!
Get the hell out of here! Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And it's chilly in LA.
It's chilly. It's like you're not gonna put on just like a shirt or a long sleeve shirt. No, you're gonna wear the sleeveless, but make it work.
Yes. Damn right. Yeah.
Throw a layer. Throw a layer.
Blazer goes on if I have to go and work and be dressed nice. Take the blazer off. Put on the hoodie. To go do 10 minutes of shitty stand-up or something. Like it's perfect. It slides in and out, and I got all my backpack.
I love it. Okay, here's the deal. So, look, we have both of you guys here, and, like, I don't know where to start. You know, you guys are both, you know, equally as important to me as guests because we just spoke to you. Skylar, I just want to say, I'm excited. I'm going to move to Skylar for a second.
I was going to say, let's go who was more recently at a wrestling show. That's you guys.
That's
closed. Yeah, you guys are there.
Fine, we'll do it that way. But, Skylar, let's talk.
Sure.
We went to Raw Monday night. And by the way, I just want to plug Zoe's extraordinary playlist.
Yeah, it comes out this Sunday. We have a 2-hour season premiere because we've already aired the pilot, but they're going to re-air the pilot at 8 p.m. and then 9 p.m., which is going to be our normal slot. That's when we'll air episode 2. And then it'll be just regularly weekly. It's a great show. I love it.
And make sure you stick around to the end of the pilot to see Skylar in action.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
No spoilers. But let's say this guy doesn't go up steps the same way I do.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. I might be main eventing that pilot.
Yeah. Skylar main eventing NBC pilot. It's Saturday. Well, it's Sunday night main event.
That's right.
We were at Raw.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about Raw. And you don't know anything about Raw, Ziggler, because you're on SmackDown and
I have some friends that work over there. Where was it? Ontario?
Ontario. Yeah.
Love that city.
Yeah. You do?
For wrestling, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it about the arena?
It's something about the arena,
but it's a great
Raw.
I don't even want to jump on your time, but LA Staples is always a blast and fun, but there's something special about Ontario. It's just a little tighter or something. They're more on top of you, and they are such a good wrestling place. And I could drive home in 5 hours from there instead of going from Staples. So.
To Phoenix or to...
Yeah, to Phoenix.
Oh, sorry. 5 hours?
Okay,
that's not a secret.
But there's... I kind of bounce back and forth.
Okay, all right.
By the way, Phoenix people, I will be singing at the IMS Raceway for NASCAR in Phoenix.
Woo!
Yes. Wow.
Awesome. In March. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Right around the corner. It's awesome.
That's right, baby. Get ready. It's going to get national.
We got Skylar Anderson at the IMS Speedway.
Everybody.
I'm so happy to have Skylar here at the IMS Motor Speedway.
Oh, my God.
Phoenix, Arizona.
Hey, dude, thank you. Holy crap, you're my idol, man.
Wow. Yeah,
I'm not really a fan.
I like you, so that hurts my feelings.
I don't know.
Dolph Ziggler, not a fan of Shawn Michaels. I gotta go. I just heard the word Motor Speedway and I'm materialized. Well, where can we see you next, Sean? You haven't been wrestling. The Saudi Arabia show coming up, but you're gonna be wrestling on that show? Nope, you can see me backstage giving Keith Lee a massage. Gotta keep him limber, gotta keep him loose. All right, the sexy boy you heard from me. I'm out here. All right.
Wow.
Wow.
That was unbelievable. He almost manifested himself. What were we talking about?
I don't know. I did non sequitur about the that. That's it. I don't want to say it again, or else he might come back.
Yeah, you
don't
can.
Say
yeah,
it.
And like don't say it three through, times.
Shifting through dimensions is not easy for him to do. So I don't think.
Well, that's what
it takes a lot of audio.
Lots.
I think. Yeah, yeah.
It's about this show is that it's almost a Beetlejuice, you know, environment.
Yes.
You can. You can.
A
really...
lot of people say that when they do the pod, they
yeah,
go,
it's, "Yeah,
it's Ziggs, careful. It's very Beetlejuice environment there." Well, on Beetlejuice on Broadway. Yeah, I like that one.
Okay.
Anthony King.
Beetlejuice on Broadway. Yeah, Anthony King wrote that. Anyway, so here's the deal. We were talking about Ontario, great wrestling town. Yes. The crowd was hot at Raw.
Very hot.
Excellent.
Very hot at Raw.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's a smaller arena, but the people there, they're happy to be there. I watched you do a SmackDown there in July, I think.
Okay.
I was there. The crowd was great that day also.
That's awesome. I've never had, we've done live events there, and we do TV sometimes, but we've done a bunch of live events, and they're always hot. Yeah, something about, it's a smaller, you don't have like the giant Staples Center, LA, you know, LAX, everything around it. It's they're on top of you, and yeah, it's cool. I've never had a bad crowd there.
Can you believe they did a Mania in the Staples Center?
Yeah, so small. I remember doing a Mania in not Allstate, in Chicago at the regular arena. Like that's crazy to me now. When we do, it's like, oh yeah, we got to find a place with 100,000 seats because we did one with 12,000 or whatever the hell.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah. Here's a what was it like? All right, Skyler, I'm sorry, jumping
off. Fine. It won't be the first time he's stealing my time. You know,
yeah. Hey, okay.
I'm the timekeeper, yeah, and I most of that started with you. So that's
all right, guys. Let's not make it awkward here. But like, so Ziggler, when I was at WrestleMania 32. I think you guys, that was in Dallas, Texas, to remind you. The man takes headshots for a living. Here, look, all right, Dallas, Texas. You've done so many at this point, so many meetings. Dallas, Texas, you were in the ladder match with like KO and the six-man, the one that Zack Ryder won, right?
Oh, okay, that's
Dallas.
Were you
in that match? I don't know.
I was in that match.
You were in that match, yeah.
That's Dallas for sure. Okay. Yeah, because his dad had a cowboy hat on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes. But I remember that. I'm not going to Chris Farley this and be like, that was awesome. Yeah.
Right? He's no follow up.
Yeah, Butch, you've done nonstop for about 7 years now. So let's see you shift into this different character you've been working on.
Remember when you cashed in Money in the Bank?
Do you remember when you cashed in?
Remember that?
You were saying, what was it? When you were standing backstage, you were probably like really pumped up, and then you walked out, and then you actually you gave the briefcase to the referee, and then you cash in, and you pinned, and then you won the championship. You remember that?
Yeah.
That was cool. what a great bit.
Yeah.
What a great bit by the great Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Anyway, but so I remember this is almost the same thing, by the way.
almost. It's just someone else did it.
I remember you walking out there, and I was sitting in the stands at the fucking Death Star AT&T Stadium, the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, and you were so fucking small. Like,
thanks, bro.
Seats. Well, yeah, I mean, no. You
5'11.
You were jacked up. You were jacked up, beautifully tanned.
Thank you.
No, not a single hair on the body except on the head. And but I was like, walking out in that, was that fucking crazy compared to any other event you had done? That was the most amount of people, 101,000 people.
Yeah, but no joke, like as much as I forget what the hell some matches are, when there's 80,000 or 75,000 or 91, like what the hell, you walk out there and the crowd noise doesn't hit you for a few seconds.
Right.
So you don't even know if they're cheering or booing because you step out and it's like, like into you. It's nuts, man. It's like, and even if it's me, I'm like, I got this all figured out. Bitter old timer, don't give a damn about anything. Walk out there and go, whoa, this is nuts. And then it raises, you know, both hairs on my arm or whatever up. And like, you get excited for it, but it's insane. And this year will be the same thing. I don't know what I'm doing, but you walk out there and go, holy shit, this is real?
But it's crazy when you watch back to those manias that are not in a huge stadium.
I've been a part of both.
I can't believe that this great, important match happened in such a small place.
Dude, it's
not the Garden.
I've been in a couple of them where, like, we were in Chicago. We're in, like, where we do TV or a live event. And you go, WrestleMania was here. This is insane. But
anyway, back to Skylar Astin, the guest that Aaron booked.
Yeah, don't forget my guest.
I know. I don't want to invalidate your experience.
I'm fire my booking agent.
I think Skylar's a very valuable guest to have in studio.
Yeah, I think so too. No, if I wasn't here, I would completely agree.
Yeah. So Raw was a great time in Ontario. I enjoyed it. We had very good seats.
Yes.
I want to talk about you. Did a backstage segment.
Well, yeah. Well, I didn't plan on it, but I guess I got into a little trouble with Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
I saw.
Yeah. I saw you were talking to Lana backstage because I was with you.
Yeah. Lana and I did Pitch Perfect together. We've known each other for a long time.
Yeah, you guys seemed like you were real close.
Real close.
And then
Bobby did not like that.
Right. No. He did not like that. I noticed you said to Bobby, you said, hey, we're two big beefy guys. We're both beefy guys.
Yeah,
right?
We clearly both work out equally. Yeah,
absolutely. And I thought that was an interesting. I thought that was an interesting choice.
Well, I was A, trying to defuse the situation.
Yeah.
B, trying to ingratiate myself to him, and C, just kind of shooting.
Yeah. When you got hugged in his embrace?
Couldn't breathe. Could not breathe at all. It hurt so much.
Yeah.
And he just kept slapping my back, and it was just very painful. Very painful.
Yeah. I know. I was worried for it. I thought we wouldn't make it out to the show.
Yeah. We still had to go to our seats. I was just saying hi to Lana. And anyway, hopefully that's done.
So this goes for both of you. So we had very good seats, front row seats, some of the top seats. And by the way, I called out Iffy. It was in the front row. I had my sign.
I don't know if you have the footage.
Yeah.
What'd the sign say?
Captured it.
Well, the sign said, Iffy, give me a Cal Podcast Championship title shot. I mean,
was he watching?
Answer the email. I don't know. I haven't heard from him. He told me to come at him like a man. This is what he said to me, and sent me an email for a title shot. So I'm just doing everything he can. I've been attacking.
Well, email his agent, and his agent will get it to him or something like that.
Maybe I should go. Yeah. This is a picture.
He was invaded the Little Caesars seat upgrade segment on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, the Garcia family got bombed. You know what I mean? The Garcia family, these people.
Listen, here's what I'll tell you. Hot and ready pizza for $5 to pick it up. I'm a fan.
Easy with the these people when you're talking about the Garcia family.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
This specific family.
These Americans. All right? This American family.
All American folks.
Absolutely. So, but the one thing is that so Skyler was there and he's like, yo, you got to get this sign on TV. Like, we got to get Iffy's attention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Because this title shot's important to me and I'm trying anything I can. So I kind of on adrenaline just bombed these people. I'm like right in front of these kids, like just, you know, because I had to get the job done.
Well, I had to remind you of what the stakes were of this situation.
Absolutely, they're huge.
At this point,
couldn't be higher.
You can't appeal to Iffy at this point. You've tried the honest way. You've tried jumping him. Hasn't worked.
Yeah.
Now he's asking for an email. At least maybe you could invade the product, you know?
Yeah, so I did that. I got that on the... But then for a second, I was like, oh, shit. I don't know what this is for. This might be like a make-a-wish or like something where...
You don't want to interrupt. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then luckily, it was just for some fucking shitty pizza.
I'm not going to let you sit here and badmouth Little Caesars.
Are you a Little Caesars guy?
No, I like that if you're in a pinch, you can drive right in there right next to the Dollar Tree and grab one and you know, walk out of there.
There's always a Dollar Tree. There's always a Dollar Tree. You're so right.
It is always next to the Dollar Tree. Well, that's where they put them. Anyway.
Get a $5
I like
pizza,
both of those places.
And then five things for $1. Yeah.
Okay, so here's an experience we had that goes into a question for you, Dolph. Okay?
Talk about
it. So we
transition.
Were front row. We were front row. And Seth Rollins came out, okay? And he's doing, wow.
He's my guy. He's my guy.
Wow.
I should have known better, dude.
Burn it down!
Okay, so.
Sorry, move on.
Yeah, wow. Aaron's getting hot under the collar.
Here, have a Snickers.
Thank you.
He literally handed him a Snickers. Aaron, he handed you a Snickers. Right now, what celebrity is she?
Rick Moranis.
I appreciate that, though.
I'm so excited.
I'm he's back.
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah, I'm back.
He's back.
I'm back for the reboot,
beautiful.
Baby.
For
yeah,
Shrunk.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Shrunk.
If Donald Trump starred in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Shrunk.
Some people's kids are normal size, not my kids. I shrink them down.
We love these kids, right?
And then you blow them up.
We love shrink rays, don't we, folks?
Rick Moranis. He's looking to probably get to give him the highest civilian honor soon. Rick Moranis. A Canadian.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, I didn't know he's Canadian.
The city was besieged by a giant baby, and Rick Moranis stepped up and he took the baby down.
He flew out of the back of a bee. Yeah. It was a big bee. Yeah, I'm scared of bees.
Hey guys, I've seen bees. I've seen all kinds of bees.
All the best bees.
This bee was huge.
Anyway, so we had very good seats. We're
Bumblebee
sitting there
starring John Cena.
Bumblebee. It's a car, but he talks.
The bee movie starring Jerry Seinfeld. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, we're having fun, folks. Let's calm it down here. Let's calm it down here.
Hey, Skylar, ring the fucking bell.
Shame.
Okay.
All right, now it's
official.
Right, now it's official.
It's official.
Intro over.
Yeah.
The pod is 28 just
minutes.
Started.
Yeah.
The pod's just started. All right, so here's the deal. On this day, I see clearly. All right, sure. So I, okay.
You think you know me.
Eddie. All right, good. She's giving an ADD guy a soundboard. I swear to God. I swear to God. I love that I don't have headphones on.
Oh, yeah, you can't hear the sound drops.
You think you know me.
I keep playing You Think You Know Me.
I had a feeling.
Which is, you could say that very sassy if you want. But okay, let me and should switch it to You Think You Know Me. Sassy. All right, anyway. So we're there. We're in front row. Rollins is healing off to the crowd because he's doing his Monday Night Messiah gimmick thing right now, right? And so we're in the front row right behind, you know, we're positioned right behind his butt, okay? Relax.
Lucky. Yeah, nice.
Easy, don't turn back into Rick, Aaron.
Give me that fucking Snickers.
There you go. Why wait?
Wow, wow.
Continue.
Okay.
Holy motherfucking shit.
So anyway, so we're sitting there, and he turns around because it's a tag match, so he's waiting on the apron. He turns around to heel off to everybody and just let everybody know that he's the Messiah and everybody should be bowing down to him.
All right.
Me and Skylar immediately,
without skipping a beat.
Without skipping a beat, full on Wayne's World. And as a matter of fact, one of the jabroniacs, one of the listeners of the show, was taking pictures of us at the time, saying he was boots on the ground for us being boots on the ground. And the picture is while we're doing it, but from like section 100. Yeah.
What's so weird is we didn't even talk about the reaction. No. It's not the typical reaction. No. Actually, we completely all night I've been cheering in kayfabe. I'm rooting for the good guys, booing the bad guys. Meanwhile, the second he turned around and showed his face, I completely marked out and went. I was like, "Save me! I need saving!"
I was like, I remember. Number 31, you cashed in and saved the show. I was like, I will bow down to you anything. Like, I was just going full mark.
King of the cash in, right?
It is hilarious because we were like, all right, whatever. This is a brag, people. Handle it. We go places. But we were backstage like earlier, just being real chill.
Real chill. 100%.
The second we hit the floor, it's a switch. It's like, we're part of the show.
Of course.
So, but I think then Rollins, I was doing that. It was making him break. He did not expect somebody to like go along with it. He's expecting me to boo.
Yeah, his back is fully turned too, but you could just feel the slight delight in it. But he's not supposed to be delighted, obviously.
Right. Right. No, he's not the Monday Night Delight. He's the Monday Night Messiah. Nice. But then he just out of nowhere with a smile on his face, just going, shit.
It totally broke.
Yeah, he totally broke.
It was in the way of being like, hey, stop distracting me while I'm at work a little bit.
It was very funny, and we took a step back. We're like, all right, we got the cue. So that was my question, Ziggler. Have you ever had moments with people, or can you think of any moment, putting you on the spot here, anything that distracted you majorly during a match?
No, just like on Twitter, though, if someone has a good zinger that's like not just... I'm in a bunch of tag matches lately with Bobby Roode and Corbin stuff, and I'm on the apron. All the time. And people are like, it's almost... I appreciate what you guys did to Seth. Because me enjoying it as a grown-up would be like, I would do the same damn thing that you guys did without even thinking about it. But there's a bunch of grown-ups, usually in those front couple rows, are just like, you suck! You suck! While like there's a hold on. Like, you turn around, you suck! Why are you wearing pants? You're not Shawn Michaels? And you're like, dude, 8 minutes in a row? There's everybody
don't
else
say
here.
Shawn Michaels again, by
everybody,
the way.
Yeah, if we say it a third time.
Oh, no.
You say it a third time.
God forbid you mention a raceway.
If you say Shawn Michaels or motor raceway, it will. Yeah, no, I know
it's,
what you're saying.
It's
lame and repetitive.
I'm a pro. I'm going to be fine either way. But the 19 people next to you who are like trying to enjoy it, like it's the main event of the show. It was. They got there 2 hours earlier. I just assumed because I'm in it. So it's like, and it's the last 20 minutes, and we're trying to do something, and even I'm not distracting because something's happening in the ring. You go, dude, you're not helping. You're just being a dick.
And it's like, it's not a cool thing. Like, you're like, hey, other 45-year-old buddy, see when I told that guy he sucked? Like,
it's lame.
And, so I am just like you guys. If I'm at an independent show or just doing it, I wonder if he would have turned around. I've done the same damn move because you're trying to lose yourself and have fun.
Well,
and
that's kind of my question. Is because, like, I guess in my head, it's like, what? But it's weird because I know you like this as I think your name's Nick. I know you as I think it's Nick.
KK only, bro.
I don't care about that name, but I don't care for it. I wish I didn't.
Nick,
know
I couldn't get booked on this podcast. He'd be waiting in line.
Yeah, Nick, I'm not into it. But I'm saying, I know you in that. But then I've also sat front row watch you wrestle, and I'm like, yo, I'm gonna fucking boo you. In that case, but because I know you well enough, I know you like it. But then I'm like, oh well, I don't know Rollins at all. Is he annoyed by this? Well, how do you feel? You know what I mean? It's interesting, but I know as a comedian, if I see somebody at my show, my question is it the equivalent of laughing or heckling? That's what I'm saying.
It really, right? What you guys were doing is totally laughing along and enjoying the thing. And even if you're booing, that's okay too. But when you're not booing, you're just going, suck. You suck. Right. That's heckling
that's
a show.
Just low-brow heckling.
And like, it's not even a good. No. Like, if you zing me with something awesome, I'll be like, I know the camera somewhere else. I'm like, damn, that was good, or whatever. Or I like, CC Sabathia's in the front row. Is a sports guy. Doesn't matter.
You think I know CC, bro? Yeah. Do you see my
the New York guy?
Of course I know CC, or my dad wouldn't even own me.
Yeah, I appreciate. I was hoping. So he's front row, and he's like chanting something. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. I turn around, I go, you are so much better on the Indians. And then I go right back and tag in and do a thing.
That's
so like,
sick,
you're having fun, but he's laughing like it's having fun. If you're genuinely just heckling. And I'm going to be all right. I'm going to do my match anyway. It's just going to be a little bit less of a hotter crowd when we tag in the good guys at the end. And that's on you. And you're screwing all the people around you. That sucks.
Yeah, it is. Like, I felt like we were helping the energy.
I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were keeping it jovial.
Right.
Keeping it.
Love that.
But well, it was hilarious. I don't remember who it was. One of us, Buddy Murphy, was laying right next to us. And someone was like, what do you think of your new name?
Oh, my God. Such a subject.
I didn't say that.
I didn't do that either.
Wait, what's his new name?
Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
Don't call him Buddy.
I'm utterly shocked they didn't just go with Buddy.
Yeah.
Oof.
Right?
That's right.
Utterly shocked.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, me a Buddy would be so bad.
Or I know. That's why I'm shocked.
He's the wrestling
his name
buddy?
Is a Buddy.
Or Shorty Murphy.
Shorty M.
Yeah, Buddy he's Shorty. Shorty Bud. Yeah. Shorty oh, my M. God. Okay, here's my next thing. So when we were at Raw, I don't think it's bad to say that Ronda was there, right?
She's
in the back, right?
Yeah.
We met Ronda Rousey.
She was probably there with Shayna as her friend. She was completely in street clothes and glasses and lives in California.
Right. And I think her husband was at whatever.
It was not part of the show 100%.
Okay, it wasn't there, whatever. But here's my I want to say. What a fucking class act.
Oh, she was really sweet.
I just want to say
I love that.
She was backstage and Skylar was talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
We were all hanging back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then she came over to each one of us, asked our names, and shook all of our hands.
That's so sweet.
Which I thought was very classy.
It's awesome.
Absolutely. It was cool.
Yeah.
But my question is, then we were leaving the arena at the end of the night. And this goes for both of you because it's not just a wrestling thing. It's about having fans, okay? And I can join in the conversation as well as a man with many fans, many tremendous amount of fans. Mm-hmm. But is at the end of the night, every fan is lined up by the loading dock, right?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, and so my thing is that where is like the line with that behavior, right? Like, do you feel like you owe it to people to the fans there at a wrestling show to like, I don't know, say hi to them? What's your guys' strategy for this kind of stuff?
I can equate it to Broadway. Yeah. It doesn't happen
Broadway
so much.
Broadway equates perfectly.
Yeah, because they do wait. There's a barricade.
There's one door. I did it after SpongeBob. But
exactly.
Same thing. It's one door and everyone's crowded.
Totally
makes sense.
It's one door and they know exactly where you are and they even know where the only other door is, which is like the secret door that's kind of, you don't even want to go through that alley.
Right.
But yeah, and it's tough. Look, if you're doing an 8-show week and you're in between two shows and it's freezing and it's December in New York and you got to go
go out there and everyone from the theater is there.
Right.
It's a little tough, but it's a good cop, bad cop situation. I'm not going to say no, so someone else will be with me being like, hey, man, he's really got to keep going. And,
right.
And I'll kind of like ask for that if there's, or they insist on it, to be honest, because they want us to keep healthy. But, you know, there's fans. I also just don't know what it's like for you. They're like, he's been broad, by the way.
Right.
He gives a shit about Broadway on this podcast, but like, I feel like proportionally,
there's a way. Sorry, last week. Yeah, I don't know.
What did you see last week?
West Side Story. How was it?
Oh, nice.
Matinee, it was nice.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Wow. I did it at Carnegie Hall. Who'd I play? Tony.
Guys, let's put this in perspective. These are huge men.
Are you talking about Riff and Bernardo? Okay. I saw that loading dock, and there was way more people than I've ever been waited at a Broadway show.
Well, yeah, that's
a different pool of people.
Absolutely.
Let's put it that way.
Absolutely.
All doctors and lawyers.
Ontario, California.
Well, there was, it was like, I was like, oh, so some wrestlers kind of had to walk by it, and I'm like, man, I know me. I would probably feel obligated to speak to every fan, but when you do as many shows as you do, man, and you're traveling on that schedule, you fucking can't do it.
So it's many-sided. One, yeah. I love doing that. Okay. I love being a dick to everybody. I love telling everyone to go to hell on Twitter. I love ripping up some kids signed the show, and then you go out there if you can, especially if I'm at the show early and they're out there, catch every one of them.
Right.
Great. Now, think about this. Ontario, I wasn't there, but a bunch of our guys and gals go to the East Coast. They're all running out of there to catch a red eye out of LAX.
Right.
So now imagine you did your match, you wrapped up your thing, you're like, okay, I got 45 minutes to get to the airport, and then I got to wait in the rental car line, and then hop on the train, and you got to run out, and you see 90 people, and you're like,
God.
And you're a good guy who wants to do it. So in those situations, one, people sometimes just got to run by and go, thanks, guys. Worst case, if you're totally stuck and you love doing stuff for the fans, you run through and go, guys, I have 90 seconds to leave, and I run down the entire aisle and high five, and run down the entire other aisle and high five, and run away and say thanks.
Yeah. Right. That's a good move. Cool. That's a good move.
And then everybody can't boo you, and they're like, we got something. You don't have your bullshit Facebook picture, but you're like, I high five Seth Rollins. Holy shit. Right. Like, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's cool. That's a good move. I like that. All right. Hey. Before I forget, we gotta hit a cash in.
All right.
And then we'll get to some of our questions listed here. All right. All right. Here we go.
7:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's your boy Tiptoe with Tulo, aka Fake Seth Rollins, aka the Supermark, aka the Marketect, aka Mr. Right. Cal. Money in the Bank. Now, this question is directly for one person there. I heard the show off was going to be on the show. I got some inside advice, and I was, as a former Money in the Bank briefcase holder, I was wondering if he had any maybe advice for me, if he had to deal with any of the situations that I'm currently going through where, like, maybe someone that you know wanted to try and win the title first and they asked you to hold off, and then like 9 months later, they still didn't get a title shot, and no matter what they did, and then like, did you like get fed up and then just eventually end up cashing in, or like, what was your strategy and plan throughout the whole entire time? And yeah, that's pretty much it. Marketech out. Cheers up.
Wow.
Is this still part of the intro to the show?
Yes.
Yeah. Dolph, you don't even have to answer that if you don't want. That's the Cal Money in the Bank briefcase holder, Nick Tulo. He told me he would give me more time to get the title back before he cashed in, but now he's decided that it's too long, and so I guess he's asking for advice on ways to cash in.
It's a fair question. I had it for a really long time. How long did you hold the
briefcase?
Man, I was hoping you'd tell me. I want to say it was like 10 months, or something really, really ridiculous, to where every month, our company tends to fly by the seat of our pants every once in a while.
Yeah.
And I was ready to go every Monday or whatever. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Right.
And every Monday went by, pay-per-views went by, and I went, man, either this is going to build to something special, or like, you know, a lot of times I was told maybe it was happening tonight, and then it didn't.
Right.
And so you have to be in that mindset to, like, you have that. And with WWE, with storytelling, with movies, with anything, it's that intent and just knowing it's in the background. So I like that you guys had some kind of a deal and now it's kind of falling apart, because it makes it more exciting to go, you don't know when he's going to cash in.
Yeah, yeah. I get why it's exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting for an outsider fan watching. You know, I mean, you got to think about it and think what's best for your company or whatever you're doing.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, well, look, this guy lives 3,000 miles away from the title, and we haven't seen him, right? He knows when we record.
He weighs maybe 150 pounds.
Yeah, he thinks he's going after Iffy. He weighs 320 pounds, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
I feel like at some point you two will come to some agreement that will end somewhat like how Reservoir Dogs ends or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you know, we'll see. I'm sorry about that. I thought that was going to be like a good question or something. Can we get a good question?
I've got a few listener questions for Dolph Ziggler.
Okay. We got a Dolph Ziggler question.
Are there any for Skylar Astin? Can we expand them out to
Skylar? Skylar was going to be on because I kind of wanted to be like this big surprise. Like, oh, Skylar Pitch Mr. Perfect is back in studio.
I was surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised that you were here. I mean,
yeah, okay.
Kind of been.
Not a perfect person.
Is your phone ringing?
Yeah.
Sad facts. Okay, well, I have to say, I think the top topic, we asked for listener questions on Facebook.
Yeah.
I think one of the number one things people wanted to know about is your hair.
I did see a lot of questions about
hair cues.
Yeah.
And, folks want to know, how do you choose your hair look for an evening event? When you go out to wrestle, you do the wave, straight, pony.
I like to mix it up. I
like that.
I don't want to say comfortable. I'm good at my job. I'm excited to do things. And once I know that and I have a game plan set for whoever I'm going to be in the ring with, I go, what can I do different? I'll wear some weird gear, or I'll mix it up, or I'll do pigtails, or I'll see if I can get a braid or something fun. And our ladies at work are awesome, and they help me out all the time.
I
flat iron it or do a braid or something. I just like to mix it up because I think, Dan, you were there once.
Yeah.
When I did two segments on the show, and I switched gear both times because.
That fucking blew my mind. I talked about that forever on here.
Because I love that if we have that chance. Sometimes you don't have that opportunity, and sometimes you're in the back busy until you run out there and you don't know what the hell's going on. But I go, I can do a costume change. I can make this a little bit different. Will anybody notice that I have different pants and a different jacket on that I didn't set
this room right here?
And I go, and I live for stuff like that. So that's why I mix it up all the time. Well, and at home, it's just I'm wearing a hat right now, and that's all I do.
That's my question, actually. The thing I wrote that I wanted to talk to you about is that I feel like you have more gear than most guys.
I don't know. I mean,
most wrestlers are not changing their gear as much as
Seth's got a lot.
Seth has a lot of gear.
Seth's got a new outfit almost every pay per view.
A lot of us do them pay per view wise. If you think like not everyone's. I'm in a somewhat of a rotation to where I'm usually doing something no matter what, even though if I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
So I'll get the gear made, and I have gear. Since I switched the pants, I just rotate them around, and if I haven't wore something in 6 months or a year, I'll throw it on, and people think it's new.
Yeah,
and
that's
it's,
why we
just
always
mix it up.
Feel like you never see the same pants on you twice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Right. I don't think a lot of wrestlers do that. I mean,
a lot do. Some people like, I don't even know who, but like, this is my thing.
Call
these
somebody
blue
out.
No, I'm trying to think of something right now. Like, these black trunks are my thing, and it's like, okay, I get it.
Well,
that's
you wrestle
fine.
With Bobby, right? Almost every week. He wore pants for 1 week.
Yeah.
Which I noticed. immediate fact, text fired off.
Yeah, immediate text fired off.
We give rooted pants.
I thought he looked great.
Guys, great
he's
thighs.
Jacked.
Nah, he's got great thighs. We should see him.
He's got great thighs.
Great.
I like him in the undies. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm an undie.
He's like an old school guy too, and he's jacked. He should be in the brief.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. He's good in the briefs. Okay. Great question.
Don't hide the thigh meat.
That's the new Make America
Don't
Great
hide
again.
The thigh.
Don't
That's
hide the
one.
Thigh.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Brings a tear.
Okay.
Also a question, because Dan here's growing his hair out, right?
Yeah. My hair is long right now.
Yeah. Do you have any hair care recommendations for a guy like Dan who is growing his hair out?
Because I have curly.
His hair grows so slow. It's been the same length for months.
So my hair is half ass flat iron from Friday or whatever the hell, and I tie it up or whatever. But I have a giant poofy curly afro if I grow it out,
and it
makes it.
Hell
not
yeah.
a real life afro, but pretty damn close.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, especially when there's like, I used to bleach it and it would just go poof into a ball like a poodle.
Wow.
So I do the highlights now and it goes a little easier on it. But I don't do a bunch of work, but I mean, you could take, what are you getting ready for the big one in Tampa, brother?
Yeah, we'll see.
You want a little bit of a longer hair, pretty boy look, and you're getting in better shape, maybe?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a whole thing.
Maybe I'll go rude. I might go short. I don't know. I gotta decide what works for me. But right now, I had the long hair, so.
Worst case, you grow it out. You don't like the look. Last second, you do a little Miz faux hawk or something.
Yeah, I could do that. Well, Miz has a little 1945 Germany hair for a while. I like that, Miz. You know what I'm saying?
You do like that, Miz?
Yeah, I thought if anybody
did it. I like the look
of
it for a heel. Okay. Skylar, I'm going to Skylar for a sec. Okay, yeah. Skylar.
What's up, man?
Remember when we zat front row at Raw?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That was awesome.
That's cool. No, but one thing I want to say, when you sit that close, weird thing with wrestling. Some things in wrestling look great close. Mm-hmm. Some things look better further away. Would you say that?
Absolutely.
I guess if you're doing your job correct, it all looks good everywhere, right?
But there's you know how things go. Anything can happen. You can be a little bit out of position for a big important thing. You could run into a post and it doesn't make any noise, like that. What's the cage? But it's the
elimination
pods.
Chamber.
Yeah. So when
when
you get slammed on that the ground outside,
the grate.
Yes,
it's not great anymore though.
It never.
But it's less great because of that.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty great.
We're gonna make the chamber great again.
Make the chamber great again.
Jeez, all this 1945 talk.
Good God.
Take it easy.
Come on. Yeah, relax.
Thank God we're not doing a lot of Trump impressions.
Luckily. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God.
When you have that though,
we're still under par.
There's no noise. We're under par for the Trump impressions. There's no noise, and you fall onto chains, and there's no give, and there's nothing. So it's like the first couple times years ago when you'd hit it, you just went and it was like you heard this in the entire arena, and you go, it's a metal grate. Like, what the hell is this? Like, there's no like fall on a grate. Cool. I want to get hurt and I want to have the grate marks in my back.
Yeah.
But I want the when you hit.
Can you get me that gig? I'm like the chamber tester. You know, I'm like the crash test dummy of the chamber.
Maybe.
You're halfway there.
Whoa. We're halfway there. Yeah. So I was saying, sometimes something looks good. You know, Punjabi prison.
But sure. God, so say I don't know what the hell you're talking about and I have a tiny idea. Yeah. Looking at that, you're like, holy shit. Yeah. What the hell is this? Yeah. But then you go, you have to have someone run through it like you. This is where you'd come in where you're like, hey, I'm kind of having some trouble over here getting not really any noise, no one's really getting impaled, what should we do?
I love that you're such a wrestler that you didn't really even know what Punjabi prison is, but you heard Punjabi prison, like, yes, exactly,
yeah, I got it. Yeah.
It's about a three-year-old.
Yeah, it looks insane.
Well, do you know, just in case you run into him,
WWE
if you run into the Universal Champion, the Fiend, you know you have to wrestle in a red. You'll have to wrestle in all red.
Yeah. I've heard that.
Any thoughts on that?
You know what? I'd really have to. I've been at all of our shows. A lot of times, the match after the show ends is that, and
right, like the dark match.
And advertised match or something, but. Either way, I haven't heard good things from being inside there to be like, oh, this is easy. People are seeing, because the whole show is about everybody in the rooftops and front row seeing everything.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that entertainment value. Just like I want to switch my gear if I can do it twice, I appreciate that something different happens when this guy's around.
Yeah.
I appreciate that he is not a normal guy. I appreciate that little kids are genuinely scared shitless when he comes out. The other ones are telling me like, oh, Dolph, you jobber. I'm like, you're 8. Why the hell are you saying that word? Yeah. And then they're like, holy shit, the Fiend's going to kill me in my sleep. And you're like, hey, man, come on. Like, which is it? But I appreciate so many aspects of that because we're not going to have Taker around forever, and we're not going to have something like that.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate all the little intricacies of that. Having it be hard to see, I mean, sometimes you just got to take it because I think that's the way to go.
People have such. I'm curious about, like, from the wrestler's perspective, because I'm going to get back to my original thing about being at Raw from really close. That was cool.
It doesn't matter when you book this guest. It's like, obviously you're going to want to ask him all the wrestler questions.
Yeah, I know.
You're
going
to be like, and Skylar, you saw it a couple times.
He already texted you all his questions all week after Monday.
It's fine. I know
exactly.
Aaron,
I know, but Skylar,
it's fine. I can't even talk about the current product, you know, really.
No, we will. We will. But okay. So what I'm saying is I feel like when you speak, and this is actually something we can all talk about. It's like, I feel like I speak to fans sometimes who have such a rigid view about what wrestling is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm curious how that relates to the actual locker room, because I'm like, oh, they're doing a red light. Again, it's different, and also it's cool, and it's production value, right? Which is one of the benefits of a WWE, is like they have so much resources are insane. Like, why not try things? Why are people so upset about the projections or like House of Horror? It's like, why not? Yeah. These are cool ideas. Even if they don't work.
Even if you, if they don't work,
to fail to try
even
stuff.
If you laugh at it afterwards, you go, we tried some crazy thing.
Right.
And also when everyone goes, oh, same old shit. Oh, Randy's walking to the ring and he's going to wrestle somebody and they're do headlocks. Like, who the hell cares? And then they're like, what the hell are these bugs on the ceiling for? This is so embarrassing. That's 5%. Of angry smart marks. Everything should be tried differently. And anytime you go out of the box, whether it works or not, like, it's awesome because it's wrestling.
Yes.
It should be this crazy science fiction movie that's awesome.
Tough. On that note, is there anything that you've ever like pitched that didn't go through or something you've kind of always wanted to try in that vein?
Man, it's a great question. I every year or something, I would tell myself like, okay, let's do this. Let's change up the hair. Let's change up the outfit. Let's do this a little bit differently. No one's taking my ideas. No, nothing. But I really liked when Wade Barrett would come out on the cherry picking thing and bang the gavel, and it was just so different. And I liked every aspect of that. I think I've pitched a million little things. We all have at work where it's like, how about not this? I come through the crowd, but I don't have music, but I do this one thing here. And then when I turn this way, the lights go out, but it's not the same shit as Sabu, but it's me because it's 2020. You know what I mean? And you have all these things, and every day there's some kind of thing like that. And God, I wish. There was something when Corbin and Rude and myself just started working together, and we had something a little bit different than everything else. It was whatever, some kind of run-in. We were all going to fight with a couple of guys, and we did something to where we kind of got it broken up, and as we were leaving, a fan was reaching over and grabbing Baron's shoulder. And he was gonna punch out a fan, and as he punched him, I was gonna jump into the three people in the front row on top of him and just roll around, and they were gonna cut to commercial.
Right.
And I go, this is the coolest thing we have ever fucking done as normal people. And everyone go, holy shit, he punched out that fan?
Like a Ron Artest.
And
all these
athletic references you're making.
I beat him in lip sync battle.
I got a
belt to prove it, baby.
Oh man,
title.
I thought you would say championship or title, but yeah.
I've seen it in his house. It's very on display.
Yeah. Of course, right next to my MTV Movie Award and my Two Teen Choice Award. All of my awards are gimmicks, ladies and gentlemen.
Are they surfboards?
Yeah, I got two surfboards, a golden popcorn, and a title.
That's a great place to cut a heel promo.
Yeah, with the golden popcorn and the surfboard here? Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, that's fantastic.
I'm here in my awards room.
Yeah, exactly.
One of my awards rooms.
One of my awards rooms. The least busy one.
Yeah.
But all right, so we're talking about things. But it didn't happen.
We had that ready to go, and I go, I can't believe we're doing this. This is so great. Even I'm excited,
right?
Sure.
And things happen, and we're like, this is a safety risk. This is
right,
something.
Right.
But it was for a second. We all came together with this really cool thing, and we were going to cut away like somebody was sliding in the ring and make it just a little bit crazier. And it didn't end up happening. But you never. It could. But that day, I spent. We had a match, whatever. Right. I spent the day going, oh, and then this guy does this, and then I'll slap the popcorn out of him and jump. Like, as you're turning around, I'm already jumping on this guy, and then I'm going to smack him into the camera. It's going to cut away, and they're just going to talk about something else.
Oh, I love that.
And I go, we're doing a regular thing that happens all the time, and people are going to be talking about this tomorrow.
Right.
And Baron, who is already getting booed, almost Vicky Guerrero levels when I'm out there with him.
Yeah.
I go, they're going to want to kill this guy. Yeah. And even if we do it with people that we, you know, stunt people that are already in the crowd, other people are me like old WCW throwing trash in the ring or trying to pull my hair out, and I went like, that'd be so awesome to have it.
Yeah,
but there and, goes the insurance. Right
but
there.
Right there, even with a group of people that we had with us, they said we can't guarantee someone's not going to elbow somebody later. Like, so we tried all these different ways. Like, how about three chairs right here? But they kind of go off the end a little bit, and it wouldn't work out. I guarantee at some point that's going to work out, and it's going to be. Holy shit, that guy, Baron Corbin punched out a fan.
I love
and
it.
If you're not sure what happened, little kids will be fucking losing their shit going, right. Boo, I hate this guy already. And you would be like, dude, I think he punches that out. And you'd be texting Skylar, oh, he punches Skylar. Dude, I'm not going to fall for the work. I'm not going to fall for it, but I'm pretty sure you got a black eye. Like,
by
it would
way,
be
I
so wanna, fun.
I'm going to text Baron right now and ask if I can be that fan.
Yeah, can you be the guy that gets punched out?
Dude, that'd be great. Just Skylar that. Here promoting Zoe.
And it's not one of those like overhyped, like obvious things like it was with the boxer and like it was with, you know, Gronkowski, Tyson Fury. But it actually is not really. It's like, I want it to be so vague where it's like, was that Skylar Aston?
Yeah, I actually don't know. I know he's a hardcore fan. Did he say something for that pissed Aaron off and he punched him?
I wanted to, non-specific
and messy.
Right
and he just left with two security guards. And that's all you do. And it makes it so much. It's a tiny thing. We punch people all day long. We beat up extras all day long. It's just one little extra thing that can get you so excited, and it'll happen at some point. It'll probably be for somebody else now, like Randy will do it or something. But
well, I mean,
it'll
AEW
be...
kind of, they veer into this territory a little bit. MJF kind of like does stuff with fans where you're like, wow, like he'll hit guys' hats off their heads and like, he'll like say shit to them where you're like, oh, and kids too. He'll fuck with kids. Like,
that's,
he'll go far.
That's pretty cool.
You
know
what I'm
saying? I like it.
It works. But like on SmackDown, on I don't think you were out in the segment because you wrestled the Usos, but Baron poured like a drink of top of a guy. But it was clearly a fan, which I don't mind plants at all. Should do plants. Keep people safe. I'm not like, it's, you know, it's theater in that way. But this guy was so separated, the way it was said, it's like he was so separated from the other fans that it was like, and the timing was like,
I think you
all right.
have to do that, which one day we'll figure it out, where we can have a section of extras where it's 100 of them.
It still worked, by the way.
But, and by the way, you're critiquing it like that, and that's the way I would be critiquing it. But some 8-year-old kid's like, he just dump a Slurpee on his head? Like, what the hell? Like, I get that.
Yeah.
But it's just, there's a way that we can do a little more guerrilla-style filming of it and make it work. But we'll get there.
Well, one thing's interesting. I sat next to the kid I was sitting next to in the front row.
The blonde kid.
The blonde kid I was sitting next to.
He was heavily featured on television.
This kid was, how old do you think that kid was?
10, 12.
10? So this kid was definitely a mark. But also, I saw the smarkiness happening.
It was great.
It was like, this kid was some great. Comments were so marky, and then some were like, "Oh, you're starting to get it." He turned to me. He goes,
"Starting to get it."
He's like, "Hey, genuinely, it's like, do you think that Bobby and Lana are actually together?"
I love it. Excellent.
Like, right? Because he's like, he went backstage. He's like, I saw them backstage. And he saw them backstage. He's like, my dad said they're not, but like, I saw them together backstage.
Yeah.
And I was like,
that's
wow.
Pretty
but then he turns to you in the next breath when there's a heel and he's like, you believe people used to freaking like this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so
ever.
Great.
You believe people used to cheer for this guy?
He goes, can you
freaking like this guy?
He goes, can you believe people used to like this guy?
I love that.
So that's the thing. He's like, I don't have a kid. I've never been to a wrestling show. I went with my nephews, you know, but they're not exposed to the product, like, because my brother's not like having them watch Raw every week. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they're not like exposed like these kids. But
I'm gonna use my name dropper name. I was just with Mario Lopez earlier today. Pick it up off the floor.
Mario.
Air conditioning Slater.
Air conditioning Slater.
And he was saying that his kid, because his kids are now, he was a fan and still goes now with his kids, and his kids are huge fans. And he was saying that, like, they love Roman Reigns, but they want to be the Fiend. Like, they want to dress as him for Halloween. That's another interesting dichotomy.
Yeah,
that I find.
Very much.
Wow. Especially since that's going to be the Mania main event. All right, that's my time, folks.
It's Mania season. Get ready for a Roman Reigns pin on the Fiend.
Clean.
Everyone, get ready. Clean win. All right, let me in. Here we go. So, anyway, one moment, by the way, my wife. I was watching SmackDown, and Fiend was on TV, and I knew he was about to say, let me in, and we were just having a conversation. And then I just say,
such a piece of
let
shit.
Me in as he says it. And she fucking started laughing. She loved it. She thought it was fucking hilarious.
Okay, good. I thought you said she just walked out of the room.
I was saying, she was packing a suitcase. She was laughing the whole way to the car.
I mean, she's always packing up. But here's the deal. Okay.
I've been here for 12
That's an
years.
Excerpt from my wife. Anyway, so, right? All right. What were we actually talking about? Oh, this kid. Oh, shit.
I think that was pretty much it. About
Okay, good.
I took the punchline away from you because I mentioned how he said people used to like this
guy. I love that you said that was
Who
great.
Who did you say that about?
I don't remember. We were actually trying to remember that later in the car, right?
Was it Rollins?
It was Rollins. I think it was Rollins. Yeah, yeah.
You believe people used to, I love that.
So
that's
funny.
So great. This guy, you believe his shit. Yeah.
But it's like when sometimes, like you're saying, like some 8-year-old kid, it's like, it's interesting from your perspective, like, because we're adults talking about wrestling. Well, sure. You think about that and you should. I mean, those kids are there. And by the way, they're wearing a ton of fucking merch. Like, they're there. I see a family. They got 3 kids. They're out there spending money.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is
not
for them.
Yes.
So,
One of my favorite things to do is to watch the crowd. Like, I'm watching it on TV, watch the kids in the crowd reacting to things. It's like, brings me so much joy.
Yeah. It's awesome. So, that's the best.
Let's Tarantino this thing and go back to my original point, which is that sometimes when you're close, things look good, right?
Oh,
and sometimes
they don't. What the hell was that?
We were sat in front row. I want to say, the Black Mass front row is fucking fantastic.
We had a great angle of it too.
Yes.
Though. We were facing the exact place where the kick, you know what I mean? If I was shooting that,
face.
That's like where you do it.
That's Aleister Black's finishing move.
Yeah. Aleister Black. He used to be in this black and yellow brand. Tozawa also
Pittsburgh Steelers?
Like, angled his face perfectly and it faced us once he took the kick.
I've never not seen that look amazing.
Yeah. Have you taken one of those?
Man, I think I don't think so.
So, like,
I'd like to see that.
I don't know how that doesn't. So. Listen, I hate to sound like a dumbass Mark, but I also love to sound like a Mark. But, I don't know how that doesn't break your face like that kick sometimes. Sometimes it'll accidentally get kicked in the face with that.
When I've seen that, I think I've seen it 3 or 4 times, and it's looked fantastic to where, me saying fantastic means there had to be a little something there,
right?
Which is fine. That's how it should be, and it looks so good. Because our guys cover our ass on a bunch of stuff. Production covers our ass all day long. And they're diving to get the right shots or the right replays. And when they, like, just I was telling you about putting that package together last year for COW Mania or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those packages are so, you can make, even if you were
screwing
around.
Let's not bring up Cameron, you know.
Sorry.
I mean, Jesus, we were just getting along.
No, I'm saying. Like,
they shoot so well, and they know. And even if it's a crazy, like, you don't know what's going to happen in the ring sometimes, and they're there for it. And they cover a bunch of stuff, and they'll fix it on a replay if we mess up. But it's just, I've never not seen that. I don't watch Raw as much as you do.
Right.
But I've seen it 3 or 4 times, and it looked snug and awesome and...
That was my question to you guys. Is that what moves, are there anything that's impressed you, like something like that, as of late?
Yeah, sure.
Anything when you see it, you go, oh, wow, that's...
Maybe bring somebody up, I don't know.
Have you watched any of Angel Garza's stuff?
Oh, here we go.
Not really.
Oh yeah, he's brand new.
Okay.
But anyway, I think it was really that was the highlight for me was that shot, because the cool thing about that the Black Mass is like the week before he did it on Eric Young and it didn't go well. They cut away from it you were talking about. But I was like, all right, here. I just think it's a spectacle of a move. The Claymore also looks pretty fucking good.
It's great.
Up close. Your guy. How you feel about Drew? Where are you at on Drew? Your old tag team championship partner.
Yeah.
The Scottish Psychopath, a name that you gave him.
Hell yeah.
Right?
I psychopath. But you like with WWE, it always has to be like the Irish brawler or the Swedish fish or whatever. But you know, it always had. But they added Scottish. But I loved calling him a psychopath. I was like, he's a badass, a psychopath. That's awesome. I wish this was last year and I was a part of we're together, we're killing everybody, and then we have the cage match we had last year and he kills me in it and he kills me and puts me out and goes on to win the Rumble. I wish that was I was part of it because it was so, because I assumed that's what we were somewhat doing last year.
I remember talking to you
and I was like,
it.
I feel like we're going somewhere special. This is awesome. I'm happy to be a part of it. And so I kind of wish it was last year because I would have helped a little bit, you know? But I mean, they've been looking for something awesome for him for a while.
Yeah.
And they're going with it. And I think it's great.
The timing's great.
Yeah.
He's also, I would say, when we were there in Ontario,
bodied
the baby
up.
Face heat. Well, yeah. I mean, the guy's a fucking tank.
Meat castle.
I used to wrestle with him all the time, and I was like, he's a jacked guy. Now he's 7 feet tall and so muscular. And I go, and he can, like, smirk and have fun. I go, and he's not robotic. It, like, we can do something really special with him, and I clearly they are. But
you were definitely right then. And thank God they didn't wait too long, as they sometimes do.
Sometimes that happens a lot.
You know?
Yeah.
Strowman.
That's what I was
Strowman.
2 years too late, a little bit.
Well, I mean, the thing was, Strowman on SmackDown last week, he, you know, he's the IC champion.
Well, yeah, they gave him a belt, title finally, but also, like, man, do you remember that SummerSlam in Brooklyn when
white
it was
hot.
Like,
he was white.
On.
Strowman at the time was white hot, and then they turned him heel with you guys for a little bit.
My God, yeah.
Yeah, because they were going for what? I forget. They had some match for him.
There was something, man.
Oh, Reigns. They wanted him to feud with Reigns.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I know. It's his babyface heat was, they were going crazy for him.
Yeah.
You know? And it's crazy sometimes how, like, the reality mixed in with the work, like, this is a small thing, but, like, I saw Drew was at a Billy Joel concert on Instagram.
Oh, interesting.
And I was like, I would never think of that guy as being, like, a guy who goes to, like, a Billy Joel
it's
concert.
It's all for Lena, man.
Yeah. a little Downeaster Alexa. Never will get you over.
Whoa.
Okay. I'm not into, like, doo-wop Billy Joel.
Doo-wop Billy Joel, I hear you. I had to sing it on an interview this morning.
No 80s Joel or
no, this one was no 80s satellite.
Okay.
Anyway,
so we got let's talk about this. Skyler, to you.
What's up, buddy?
Mark out time.
Finally,
let's do it.
We're getting Goldberg versus Bray Wyatt in Saudi Arabia. Dolph,
you mean the guy that destroyed Bret Hart?
Oh,
dude, you know, and as a tribe member, you know I'm not a Goldberg, Mark. You know this. He's not one of my guys.
Goldberg, 100% one of my guys.
Obviously, you wear his shirt to bed every day.
100% one of my guys. Here's the deal. I've said this a million times.
Your shirt is, that's the Goldberg title. That's what everyone calls it. When you reference that, you don't call it the Flair title. You call it the Goldberg title.
This is the Goldberg. I call it the Big Goldberg. That's what I call it, the Big Goldberg. That's what everyone calls it, right?
That's what everyone says.
The best champion of all time, first Arquette, and then second is although I love Arquette.
I was just going to say, you can't even badmouth him anymore. Or like, you can't bust his balls anymore. He's busting his own balls.
He almost died.
Really. He almost died. What have you done? You're sitting here laughing and marking out. He's almost dying in the ring. You're falling behind.
At the fucking
he's got that Friends
theater
money.
He's got that Hamlet 2 money. Yeah, come on, ladies. I did a movie with David Arquette, ladies and gentlemen.
Did you talk about the title?
I sure did not, because it was in 2007.
Yeah,
sure was. But he was great in it.
Well, Hamlet 2 is great. Don't you love that Arquette, I mean, had that like chip on his shoulder about like that moment where like they gave him the title, and I feel like he's pretty close to right that wrong, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right? It's yeah.
Everyone's like,
I think he's already done it, man.
Yeah. He's past it.
Hey, by the way, David Arquette, one of my guys.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm willing to make Arquette one of my guys.
Yeah.
Really? You have that job. Absolutely.
It's Yeah.
Okay.
Shall we go back to Sergeant Takes Himself Too Seriously, Bill Goldberg?
Yeah. My God. So anyway, Bill Goldberg, we know he's got a weird relationship with his son. We know all this stuff.
I'm going to sit back and listen to the fan perspective here.
By the way, if I met him, I'd be like, huge fan.
You know I'm going to turn to you and ask a Goldberg question, and you can plead the fifth if you need to. This is America.
I can do whatever the hell I want.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just don't show off. All right, anyway, but he's showing off if you got it. But anyway, so Bill Goldberg versus The Fiend. I was like, all right, this is just a big Saudi cash grab.
Sure.
But then I was with one of my friends. I was with, I think, Dan St. Germain. And then he was like,
Two spears and a jackhammer.
He was like, you know what? There's a chance that they're like, well, we'll do Goldberg.
Roman Goldberg.
Roman Goldberg at Mania.
The spear off.
And I was like, ooh. Wow.
You're into that?
No, absolutely not. I'm not into that. Listen, I say Goldberg is one of my guys because he's one of my guys simply because.
Two reasons.
As a 15-year-old Jewish small kid. To see this guy had the last name of every kid in my Hebrew school class.
It was amazing. I know.
And he looked like
amazing.
That. It was fucking mind-blowing. Yeah. And also his booking in WCW was a fucking blast.
I used to go nuts for him.
He's Jack Jew.
Jack Chu. And his entrance is, I still get hyped for his entrance.
Dude, I used to watch Nitro in my kitchen, and I used to flip manually to Raw. I was a huge Goldberg fan back in the day.
Right.
I think once I like smartened up. I don't hate the guy.
Right.
I just think he needs to just chill a bit. But anyway. To be honest.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, Goldberg Fiend. I see that going one of three ways.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
All right, let's ring the bell for option number one. All right. Option one.
All right. Option one, two spears and a jackhammer.
Sure. There and you it, go.
Yeah. All right. Option one.
And Fiend is literally buried and dead. Option two, I see some sort of right before showdown. I see some Roman interference with Fiend somehow, so that actually it ends in a schmoz where Roman interferes, kind of setting up a Mania match.
Right.
Not setting up, but just starting to set up a Mania match. So nobody loses. The Fiend still looks strong. He goes into a program
right.
with, I'm hopeful for Daniel Bryan still, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to probably.
Fiend DB?
Yeah, I think it's going to be option three. Which is what I would do rather than, I mean, there's four options. Fiend
right.
going over clean. I hope that Fiend does something otherworldly
right.
To Goldberg so the match doesn't actually end. But, I mean, some sort of, not a mandible claw with a cartoonish amount of blood coming out, but definitely some sort of giving him some sort of a seizure or something where Goldberg just looks like, all right, well, that was, he was clearly struck by
lightning. Well, Papa Shango, maybe some yellow throw up.
Something. Yeah. Something. I think something that could be fun. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I actually don't know what it's going to be. I could see Fiend going over clean also, but that's not one of my three.
Interesting. Interesting. Dolph, what's your relationship like with Bill Goldberg?
I think it's a great work relationship.
Very
show
okay,
up.
Okay.
We show up, sometimes see each other, and it is very real when he's around.
Sounds what does like that mean?
Backstage real. Or in the ring, it is real life.
I could tell, dude, and I'm just like easy a little bit because your move set is two.
I'm
sorry. You want me to shoot? I literally,
look,
you can't be that serious.
This is anti-Semitic.
You've been. I'm Jewish, dude. I'm a full Semitic.
So how much worse that is that way?
I know. Look, I could be upset at my brother. I could also be upset at Bill Goldberg. I just think like pick one.
Just be good to Bernie, okay? All right, go.
No. Look, I just think that he had everything handed to him on a silver platter in WCW. I was worked, and I was. Very nice.
Folks.
And I was totally worked. I used to love the entrance. I didn't even understand that, what he was doing was like less impressive or less than something like a Dean Malenko or someone who's actually doing work out there.
Right.
But yeah, now he comes back. It's like a little like just, anyway.
No, I think it's true. I mean, at that also at that time, work rate wasn't even a thing we talked about, right?
Yeah.
What I'm saying? Now it's a whole different ball game.
Exactly.
I don't think Goldberg could exist now, right? I guess there are examples of it, but like I don't think it wouldn't be something that I was so into. Like that streak, which
they did it with Braun a little bit. They did it with Braun a little bit, where he was just beating jobbers every week.
But Goldberg's been pinned like not a lot of time.
Yeah,
like,
he's lost
yeah,
like
ever.
We,
yeah.
I under five.
Recently. Yeah. Well,
something.
Actually, well, yeah.
We did the math. I think it was like 241.
Pins.
Yeah,
well, we looked it up against against you.
And
what do you think your win loss percentages?
Control.
Do you know?
It can't. I mean, it would almost have to be.
I think it's good.
It's pretty good.
All I know is,
and also, who knows if it's accurate?
Yeah, it's not.
Who's checking couch every house show?
3 years ago, something like in the 2000s, I had the most televised losses.
Is that true?
But someone, like, it was, people were joking about it at work. I don't know.
But
I feel like I've been around a bunch and I lose a bunch, but I'm sure it's probably like 35% win.
You're also a heel for most of the
year. Yeah,
too,
yeah. 90% of the time.
We
found
an article from 2013 where you were one of, like, you had 100 wins, televised wins at that point.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, so.
That's a ton.
We did, but we also found that there was like quite a large loss ratio there.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I think it was overall 50-50, which I think is good.
That's pretty good.
For a heel?
Yeah. 99% of the time bad guy?
Absolutely. I think it was pretty good. And also, I think it's more about the potency of the wins. Okay.
Sure.
Well, we always talk about this, how it's awesome how you can always slot in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and
you
can, good and bad.
And go up. Oh, you think it's bad?
No, good and bad. It's like to always know, then you don't got to worry about it full
right.
time, you know?
Okay, so.
Fiend
so
Goldberg,
we covered Fiend Goldberg. Okay, so here's my next thing. Let's go into another controversial guy, CM Punk, for a second.
We
rarely talk about Dolph, I just want to say, because CM Punk is a guy who probably, in your mind, is the only guy mentioned on any podcast ever.
First time since I've ever been on the show we've even mentioned his name.
But I watched him on Backstage. I put on Backstage, which I enjoy watching Backstage. I think it's cool. I think it's a cool show. But Punk's on there. he's talking about wrestling, and I have such a hard time believing this guy. He had Charlotte in there, and they're like, reminiscing about wrestling. I have such a hard time believing that he doesn't want to wrestle at all. You know what I'm saying? How do you?
Yeah.
Oh, you think?
Oh no, I have no idea. I was thinking. I go, no matter who, like legends or old timers will come by all the time,
right.
And when they're in their 70s, and they're like, God, if I can get one more match, and not even the let me go pitch this to Vince because I can make some money and get paid Carney style. It's like nobody ever wants to quit.
No,
whether you're hurt or old or not or it didn't work out, I joke around about hating wrestling more than anybody you probably know, and I'm serious half the time. But if I couldn't wrestle, I would lose my mind.
Well, by guys, it goes back to what you said before about the crowd noise hitting you in that way.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that that's easy to give up.
So even if that's your thing, I would never speak for somebody else. But man, and then if you're around it a little bit. I was done wrestling in college, and I was waiting for a tryout with WWE, and I was coaching high school kids. And I was like, getting in there, like, no, you got to do this and this. And I was getting excited to do amateur wrestling, which is one of the boringest things in the entire world. I was like, God, I wish I could just go back and do another year of college or something. So it's, and that's like, that's zero fanfare. That's like four parents in the stands at a Mid-American Conference Championship duel meet. Yeah.
Wrist control.
And it's like, stall. Okay, good. You got it. And it's like, but it's like, I think about it all the time. Like, I had a weird week where I had 5.5 days off, and I was like, I gotta go do something. Like, this is crazy.
Right.
And so if that got taken away from me, or if I was out, even if it was my gimmick, like, haha, fuck wrestling, I'm the man.
Right.
I would be in the back of my head and go, maybe plotting what's the best way to do this.
Right.
And even if it's, just like anything, there's gotta be a window at some point.
Yeah.
To where if you're not a spring chicken, then you could hold out for long and be like, I got $20 million for this one match. But I was so old and beat up and kind of exposed that it sucked and that was it. And then you'd hate yourself for the rest of your life.
Right.
So you got to figure that out.
It's interesting because it's cool. From you, I feel like people, you do the stand up and then people interpret that as like, oh, he's checked out. He's doing this, right? He wants to do stand up.
And I embrace that more than anything.
But it's cool to hear that
for
it's
fun.
Not, right.
Yeah.
Well, I think people, but also I know you and you're always talking about, you know, you're always keeping in shape and you work harder than so many people I know, especially at wrestling. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That it's hard to think you wouldn't. I feel like it's a great work you got going there.
It's great.
Making people think you don't want to do it.
I think so too. Because I think a couple years ago, fans were like, oh, Dolph's phoning in because I didn't book myself in the championship match. I'm in a 4-minute tag match.
Right.
I go, well, I'm not the booker. So I just embrace it. Go, yeah, I told him I'd only want to do 5-minute matches. Yeah, I don't really care. I don't watch the show. I don't know what's going on. But who's the champ? Okay, I'll wrestle him. Like, I embrace that so much, and it's so much fun for me. But also, I am absolutely not checked out.
That's
it's fun.
Great fucking actual gimmick for you. I don't know if they'd ever do a meta gimmick like that. But like
Meta World gimmick?
Yeah, Meta World gimmick.
No, bringing it back.
That actually is really funny. If you get tired of doing the same act. But I think that idea of just like we remember when we wanted that for Shinsuke back in the day? Just the eccentric painter Shinsuke.
Let me tell you.
Who they're like, yeah, he's in the back, he's painting. He
I want this gimmick so bad. I want the person who doesn't want to wrestle.
That's funny, dude.
I think it's such a good, like it's almost like a good version of that Adam Rose gimmick they had a while back.
I think it's even like Orange Cassidy. That's someone in AEW who's you know what I mean. It's kind of that, but he's too cool for school. I think it's just like it's kind of funny if you just don't want to go, man. It's like, dude, fuck that. And I've been doing it for so long. Like, I don't know. It could be refined, but there's something there.
Yeah. I just think it's someone who has so much talent in ring, but they're focused. They're a hobbyist. You know what I mean? It's like that when you're like they're in the back, like, and I mean, you know what? I'll take a loss. I'm in the middle of this chess match. You know what I mean? And
brother, like, if I could let you know how exactly that is to the gorilla position for me on a Friday night, you would laugh your ass off and still not believe it.
But I feel like
what you just said, but in a slightly different world.
But shoot,
you dude. Say that shoot.
Yeah, but I'm not playing chess.
He's not playing right.
Swiping right or some shit. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. We'll be out there, put my cigarette down, and then the music plays. Like, but it's because you get to a point where I don't think I'm the greatest ever. Think I'm pretty damn good. And I go, what else do I have to learn here?
Yeah,
I'll go take care of it. Oh, if somebody hurt their knee while we're wrestling, I got it. Don't worry about it. We'll switch it around and have someone else do the comeback, and I'll be there for it. Like, but I don't have to give a shit. And also the fact that I don't.
Fuck, I wish you could even talk that way.
Well, yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
And I don't really.
Just have somebody
watch.
Else do the comeback. I don't.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. They do do it on to give AEW credit. I'm a fan of both. We've been through this. Yeah. They do. They do.
Do you usually not give them credit?
I give
them quite a bit of credit on this show. I think
we give them credit, but I'm also I like all wrestling. I'm for all companies thriving in professional wrestling. That's more jobs
great
for pro
news.
Wrestlers.
Hell
right?
Yeah, love absolutely. That. Absolutely. Yeah, gets you one step closer to being able to pick where you can go right.
Absolutely, that's right. And so but I think sometimes in AEW they speak in a way where it like hits me in the like it's shocking where you're like, oh, they're living in the same planet as us. Do you
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
But that's because it's, I feel like, for adult, more adult wrestling
right.
fans. And
you got
Jericho up there, like, literally using words like shoot. That's a
yes.
shoot, brother.
Yes.
You know, and you're like, oh, come on. I mean, they would be killed back
then. I'm not saying it's better. Truthfully, yeah. I'm not saying it's better.
But of
I'm
course, we
it's
pop.
Cool to have, it's cool to have both. I think it's cool that WWE has its own universe and its own rules, and that's to its benefit a lot of the time.
Sure.
Because you.
Especially
you,
in the long run.
Right. In the long run, you know how it works, right?
Right.
It's like anytime I'm thrown off by any kind of universe. Movie or blah blah blah, like Lord of the Rings is the one I always give example of, like the Lord of the Rings sometimes just has like random shit in it, right, where they're like, all right, we're gonna go to this ghost cave, and I'm like, what, the ghost cave,
yeah.
You know what I mean, like, is that how this fucking works, where like something like Game of Thrones slow plays a lot of the magic
lore.
Elements
yeah.
and they
yeah.
set them up, and then like Jamie's watching Game of Thrones for the first time and I'm popping in, I'm like, wow, the attention to detail there is so nice, where you're like, I see how this all goes, alright yeah. I give you a well, I don't want to spoil for people who haven't seen
no
Game
spoilers
of Thrones. I don't
want
to spoil Game of Thrones.
I've never yeah. seen it
anyway. Well, I'll tell you, season one Game of Thrones, okay,
right.
Ned Stark's wife drops a line. Jamie's watching
the guy named Ned?
Episode two.
Yes.
Ned Stark.
That's
yeah,
funny.
Yeah. Ned Stark.
His name's Eddard, but they call him Ned.
Yeah. He drops okay. the tiniest line where his wife is just like, so you left when you came to the war and you came back with another woman's child. And I'm like, oh my God. The wording on that is so slick.
Yeah.
Right? About how, you know, Jon Snow is a bastard. You're like, oh, that could have meant. You came right. over the bastard, but it was actually somebody else's child
right,
that he came
right,
home with.
Right.
Very fucking slick. So, a lot of benefit to universe. All right, well, let's cut that part of this podcast out.
No, we could do that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
No, let's go back to the intro one more time.
Let's go.
Take it home.
Yeah, let's go back to the intro. All right. Let's get some. Let's see if we have any more questions. Let me play a cash in quick.
Oh, please.
And
yes.
then, all right, one more cash in, not from fucking Tulo. All right, here we go.
Hello, Cow Nation. Mm. It's your reigning cow heavyweight champion.
What?
If you want to, what? AKA If D's, AKA the Keto King, AKA the title snatcher, AKA creeping while you sleep, AKA Dan got his ass beat. I just saw Dan Black calling me out on Monday Night Raw, and it reminded me about the email. Now, nothing has given me more pleasure than hearing all you whiny bitches complain about my absence and the absence of the cow title. But seeing as I'm a man of my word, and Dan Black came at me like a man, asking for a title shot via email, I'm ready to end the cow podcast for good by taking out Dan Black for good. So here's the deal, Dan.
Oh, shit.
I'll put the cow title on the line, but it'll happen on my terms. When you least expect it, anytime, any place. So you better be ready. Cheers up, bitches.
Wow. Wow. I mean,
holy shit.
Holy fucking shit. Looks like I got a title shot. Iffy Nwadwe, the cow heavyweight champion, finally fucking cashed in. He answered. I sent him the email and it worked. I went on Raw. I'm sorry, you guys.
Take
huge.
Your time.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Is huge for me.
Drink some LaCroix, man.
All right, hold on. I've been doing everything I can to get this guy to give me this title shot. And it happened. And I'm fucking ready. I'm telling you, I am ready for this guy. Fucking Nick Tulo has been making fun of me, saying, oh, all you're doing is training. All you're doing is training. Well, yeah, this is when opportunity meets preparation, and I'm prepared. I am prepared. I squat 300 pounds the other day, 305 for four, okay? You try lifting 305 with a fucking crane, Nick Tulo. You can never do that. This is huge for me. This is a big, big moment for the Cow Podcast. And what did he say? Anytime, any place? What was it? He said when you least expect it.
Yeah.
Well, look, that's how it always goes with this guy. I don't care. I'll do this thing anywhere. I'll do it wherever. Wherever you want. I'm always ready. I'm ready to go. Okay? So, yeah. Wow. This is awesome.
Hey, man.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
I hate to sound like, this is awesome.
Yeah, man.
Can't believe it.
It's exactly like you said, man. Like,
this is the first time this guy's been on, actually on this podcast this whole time. He's had the title for over 200 something days.
Damn.
Since June.
Yeah.
Finally showing up, making it worthwhile. Like you said, you can plug me into some position at any point, maybe fight for the world title. That's why you're prepared all the time. You said you were getting made fun of for always being prepared, always ready to go, always the guy on standby.
Yeah.
And now that's exactly what it's going to take to win the title.
Awesome. I'm glad to get that. I mean, it's great to have you here. You know
what I mean?
Really,
I don't like that there's a third person on this.
Look, man, it's fine. Right? If there's one thing you've added really valuable, it is that. And I would actually like to say that, officially, hey, I don't know whether I'll be there for this iffy thing. It seems like it's in any place, any time. If I can be there on short notice, I will be there to officiate. But I know I would at least like to ask or announce my candidacy, whatever it is, to be the Cowmania, because I definitely know I'm touching down in Tampa. I would like to be the Cowmania referee. If that's okay with you. Again, just so it's like a thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, listen, I'm confident in myself.
I know I don't want you to get ahead of yourself. I'm asking you now as a booker.
I've been getting
not
ahead of
not
myself for a while here. I'm happy to do it, okay? You will be the referee,
okay?
All right. That's
getting a little ahead of yourself. I feel like there was kind of some chaos last time. I was there. And I don't really think that this is about you and the championship. I don't need to be distracted with, like, a referee doesn't really know what the hell he can't. I don't know. Like, is that no? It's
what
no offense. Not experience. You don't have the licensing practice.
Right,
I mean,
okay. Well,
you
first
can
of all,
watch wrestling doesn't mean you can make you a wrestler. It's you know.
Okay, but I'm not a wrestler. I'm just an officiant. Yeah. I mean, do you think that it was you literally kicked me in the face the last time. Do you think I could do my officiating then? I mean, talk about chaos.
That had to happen, but I feel like this is a big moment. He's been waiting 200-something days. We were here on a very special day, and now you want to volunteer to be out there. That's like, I don't know if I trust that. You get one shot at this.
I mean...
Okay, all right. Well, first of all, we were 4 minutes over at Cowmania 1 if we're really splitting hairs
that's
here.
True. I mean, you get one shot. It's not like the movie where you get like six takes and you switch the camera.
I've been on Broadway, man. I know how to do things fluid and straight through.
Okay, look, guys.
That's chaos.
Look,
that doesn't work for us.
Look. I didn't want to book you guys. Like, all right,
I give a damn about wrestling and the sport and making something happen and making moments happen. And if something... messes that up. That pisses me off as a fan. Like,
where were you during SummerSlam 91? Because I was there, dude, popping balloons with my brother. My first wedding was Macho Man's wedding. I mean, dude, I'm a. This is my lifeblood. I mean, if you don't think I at least know how to watch wrestling, that's
great enthusiasm, and I think that's awesome, and I think it's admirable. I just don't think that makes you a professional that can help this out when it's a one-in-a-lifetime special moment. I had a special moment cashing in a briefcase and winning a world title. The
you
Cow
did.
Championship will be
awesome,
on
man.
The line, and if you get one shot, you get one shot.
That was awesome. And Dolph also,
yeah,
that's
fine.
He also did his best, and I did win the title. Guys, I don't like to see, you guys are like two of my close friends. I really don't want you fighting here. Skyler, look, you were the referee of the first match, okay? Ziggler, it sounds like you want to be involved also.
If that's WrestleMania week, I'm really busy. I got comedy shows and WrestleMania probably. But also, I don't have... But dude,
okay, so
make some sense
firing
out of this. Have this be special. Don't let this fall out of your hands and not be a special moment for you because, you had a junior in training referee who watched wrestling. That's like,
God,
like I'm an MMA fighter because I watch it. And then you go,
By the way, I am an MMA fighter because I'm.
Don't ruin that. Life is about special moments, especially this business. When you love it this much, don't mess that up.
Okay, well,
don't
then
put
I'm
it
so
in
glad
amateur's
you're gonna,
hands.
I'm so glad you're going to announce that here and then you're going to just like, send him a text on the day? How are you going to make sure that whoever refs it is going to
to be held accountable and the rules are going to be enforced.
All right, look, this match, it might not even happen. You know, I'm gonna make it happen. But here's the thing. You guys, what, Skyler, I said you could be the referee.
Yeah.
Dolph, I know you're fucking busy. I know. And WrestleMania week is especially, I know you got to do signings, all kinds of stuff. They're going
to
make
okay, like, I'm not on a new show, and, like, I don't actually have a movie that I'm about to start filming. I'm not going to Tampa just, honestly, to keep this accountable.
You're making the point that your head won't be in the game because you have a bunch of other things going on. And that's
all right, so why don't you be there, man? Why don't you be there? I mean, like, what are you going to do?
Someone like me being there would make sure everything went smooth and a real fucking wrestling show happened for once instead of some bullshit where you hope it's in some kid's hands and hope it all works out.
Okay,
so it would actually happen if someone like me had the balls to be there, something special would happen and that's all that matters, not some, oh, we'll see.
Why don't you be there, man? Maybe you're like, you enforce or something. You'd be like
special guest enforcer.
Yes,
exactly. Because, and by the way, I sanction that. As the referee, I allow that because, you know what, I dare you to hold me accountable and I dare you to throw another super kick at me again and think you're going to connect.
Well, I mean, Dolph.
That's a busy week for me, man.
It's all right. Well,
I can't. I mean, look, I gotta say something here. This is, yeah. I've watched Dan crawl from the bottom of a pit to get to where he is right now. He considers you a dear friend. I don't know that he would trust anybody but you to make sure that this went down.
I would like this thing, if it happens, you know, it's gonna, we need some order, you know what I mean? And look, Skyler can do his best, but I mean, look, we could use more hands, to be honest, you know what I mean? And timekeeper it's great to have his timekeeper, but frankly, Aaron could be the timekeeper, you know what I mean? It feels like a waste of your talents, you know, if we can get you there. So if you could find the time, you know? Maybe it'd be good to have you there as a second, as you know, as an enforcer.
Easy with the second.
Second. I know. I'm not trying to invalidate either your experiences, all right?
No, I welcome it.
It's a special show. I want it to, whatever happens that night, be a special moment for the people there and involved. I'll do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right, you got it.
Cheers. I want this to be a special moment for somebody.
Now this thing has to happen. Wow. Okay.
What a mensch.
Wow. This guy. Dolph, I thank you. It's Skyler. I thank you.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Like, I thank you because there's one thing I'll say is that Skyler, like, you know, given that we don't wrestle on in proper rings, you know what I mean? Because, you know, we got to do a live podcast and we got to do it the way these are sanctioned podcast matches. So he's very nimble. You know, Skyler can move. You know, sometimes Broadway movement is good for a stage.
Look, I know my way around the Black Box Theater.
Absolutely. Yeah. Some of the movements you did in there, frankly, if you watch the tape and you go on my YouTube channel, you can watch back the match. I mean, you were navigating that place like, honestly, like you had wings.
Thanks,
I mean,
buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And so, and
nice
that, that's useful. But yeah, that went for an outside interference. You know, I mean, I'm fucking ecstatic to have you. I thank you so much from the bottom. You really are one of my guys.
Don't thank me yet. I'm there to make sure this goes down smooth, whatever that moment is, whatever happens.
Well,
I'll be there
to
make sure.
Keep it fair.
That's all I'm there for.
Now that you,
with experience, it's going
to
be pressure.
Now that you've agreed to be there, I think you should know. I mean, last time Dan fought Iffy, he had goons. We got the possibility that, you know, Tulo is lurking somewhere. It could get... It could get hairy.
I don't know what's happening. Plus this match is anytime, any place. It's a lot. It's a lot. I'm sorry to have like while I'm hosting, I have a little bit of like a meltdown. I'm overwhelmed, you know?
Hey, but I'll tell you something. These are all good things, man.
I know.
These are all fresh opportunities.
I know. I'm pumped and I'm ready. I told you. But, you know, anyway, I mean, Calmania is happening. Sounds like Dolph Ziggler will be there. Skyler Aston will be there. Calmania 2 is a go at the Cuban Club. Saturday, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Cuban Club in Tampa Bay, Florida. It's minutes from NXT. I think it's an 8-minute drive to NXT. It's where so many of the indie shows are happening that whole weekend. Like, all the shows are happening there. And if you have that bracelet, I forget what it's called. It's, you know,
it's like the all-access
pass. The all-access pass for all the shows happening there. You can get into our show. But Dolph's going to be there. Skyler is going to be there, and it's happening. You can get your tickets now, calmania.brownpapertickets.com. Shit. Wow. This is a huge... I mean,
big moment,
man.
Could
this episode get bigger? We had both of you guys here. I mean, we got some great insider information.
Yeah.
I mean, me and Skyler marked
and I was
out
here
about
too.
The front row. It was unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, and then I'm... And then I got Iffy to be on the pod. I mean, it's like unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It's going to be a special moment when that happens. Make it count.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like that's a good place to wrap things up here.
Yeah.
Right? Wow. Wow. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the podcast, and check out Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
This Sunday at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. if you've already seen the first episode.
And the pilot's on YouTube, right?
Yep, you can check it out.
Still on YouTube.
40 million views,
and
baby.
You can see Skylar Sucker singing by the Jonas Brothers, right?
17 million views, baby.
17 million views, and he knows AJ Styles Slater.
Air conditioning Styles. That's right, he's coming here. He's keeping it cold. We just replaced the unit for $8,000. Man, that was expensive. Can't believe we got to flip this house and be out by April. That's right, April 4th at the Cuban Club, baby. AJ Styles.
Jesse Spano. And Dolph Ziggler, you can see this guy every Friday night at 8 p.m. on Fox.
On the fucking thing we love.
On fucking SmackDown. This guy wrestles on fucking SmackDown. It's so dope. It's so choice. Do you have any stand-up dates you want to?
Yeah, I'll just plug that, you know, leading into your big show, WrestleMania Week Side Splitters. After Hall of Fame, Thursday night, April 2nd. Tons of surprise guests.
That's awesome.
Nice. Awesome Q&A where I talk just like I did here, and VIP meet and greet, and we got some cool stuff. And I just got some like koozies for White Claws and stuff. Just got them made.
That.
Yeah, I'm really excited about those. But awesome. Most importantly, it's a blast. I have a bunch of surprise guests, and I mean, people are going to be like singing, dancing, telling jokes.
It's great.
Super kicks.
The shows
awesome.
Are always so fun. It's like
those
you never know what the next act is going to be.
That's the best part. We try and make it like a wrestling show. That's
yeah,
fun.
It's awesome. Hey, everybody. Wow. The fucking time is now, baby. Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening. And thank you to Iffy for essentially giving me back my fucking cow title. I'll be ready, baby. Anytime, any place you come at me, it's go time, baby.
Yeah, you got your smile back.
Yeah. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Cheers. The fuck up, baby.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.